Coming to you from the Coachella Valley in Southern California, in association with Anchor.fm, welcome to Is This Your Playlist? On tonight's episode, Kedrick is joined by his longtime friend, Gia Delegati. Tonight's playlist is all about the adventures they had in the early 90s in the UK and here in the US and where their almost 30-year friendship began. My name is Joey and part one of this evening's playlist will begin, now.
Hey, playlisters, it's Kedrick, and I am here on Is This Your Playlist? And this is episode 62, and I am in the presence of one of my favorite people in the entire world. Her name is Gia. She is my biggest fan, and I am her biggest fan, and we have known each other for 100 years, and she is here with me filling in for Risa, who's still out. Her mom passed away, so she's still out. So thoughts and prayers go out to you, Risa. And Gia, we have such a history, and I cannot express to you how excited I am that you're doing this. And we haven't, I don't think I've seen your face for, I think since you moved away, since you went back.
That long?
Yeah.
I know. Even though I have social media, it's like, you know, I never post any pictures or anything. Very rarely.
Whereas I do. So.
Yes. And thank you for having me on. This is a true pleasure. I enjoy the podcast, and this is a treat. So yes, and definitely thoughts go out to you, Risa.
Thanks. Yeah, I actually spoke to her the other day, and she's doing fine. You know, she's still just trying to get like everything sorted out, like arrangements and stuff. And sure. You know, I told her, I said, hey, you know, I'm bringing in some of my friends to kind of like pick up the slack. And I said, I don't want you to think that you're being replaced, because she is
absolutely not.
And I was going to shut it down. To be honest with you, I was going to shut it down while she was gone, because I did episode 60, which was the wellness one, and it was tough to do. It's tough to do it by yourself when you're used to having someone to bounce it off of. And I literally had to do that one in pieces, the wellness one. I'm kind of getting choked up a little bit, so I'm just like, you know, they have that saying, you know, you have friends for a reason, a season, or something like that, and you know, Gia and I, like, we had, you know, we're going to talk about how we met, but basically we came out of the ashes of something not so good. We've always been there. So and it's funny, because like when I gave Gia the outline, you know, to kind of have everything written down, and we just talked right now, and it's like, oh, how we met, and like we're gonna just say letters of names, beginnings, because we don't need to talk about them. We know who they are, and blah blah blah. So, so I had put like two letters how we met, and she put two other letters how we met, and it's just funny. So Gia, so tell us.
Yes.
Tell us when we met.
Okay. I'm going to say, I want to say it's actually circa 90, was it 93? Yes. Right. So circa 93, ladies and gentlemen. And, female Y came over with friend in tow, Kedrick. Y just visited England, her native, whatever, let's not get into the minutiae of why, but she came over to my apartment, and we had some friends over. M, female, L, female, my roommate, G, female. But they wanted to Kedrick and why came over to just introduce Kedrick and also tell us a little bit about this really cool boy band called Take That. And, you know, we were ready for it. We were all huge New Kids on the Block fans. You know, we went, we all hung out at the wall at the Bellage, you know, slept in gutters outside of Arsenio Hall, wink, wink, Kedrick. So that was how we met. And, you know, and after that, it was like going over to Kedrick's house to just, you know, get more info and intel from Kedrick and his friendship books and such. I would sit in his room and just see the wall of his walls covered floor to ceiling of just so many pictures and posters of Take That. And it was just like overwhelming and glorious at the same time. So he really, really just, it was a joy. It was a joy to just get to know Kedrick.
Well, you know, and the funny thing about that is when I, you know, I lived in Long Beach at the time, and I believe M and L and Y had seen it already, the room.
Yes. I was the new one.
So it was basically like, I mean, like I said, even at that moment, we weren't really close yet, you and I. And so they, you know, they kind of trekked down to Long Beach from like Studio City or Sherman Oaks, where you guys lived. And and there was all this big lead up, okay, to the room, the room. Literally, like, they kept Gia outside of my bedroom door. Like, they were like, okay, you're not ready for this. You're so dead. Oh my God. And at one point, after probably like 5 minutes, she's like, open the goddamn door.
Okay? Yeah.
And
that's so true.
And so, you know, at the time, you know, I was 22 years old and I love Take That. And we were talking about like friendship books. For those of you who don't know what that is, back in the day, you know, when you had pen pals, when you wrote to people, you know, you would make this little friendship book and you would put like who you liked in a band. And then that person, you know, you would have pen pals that like that person. And so the girls in England at the time, my pen pals, they didn't like Take That, but like most of them, they liked, which is weird, they liked Joey Lawrence and Jeremy Jordan. You couldn't get that kind of stuff over there. So I would send them magazines here. And they would send me care packages. I mean, I'm not even kidding. They were not even like, I mean, it was everything from like a fold out poster to like the smallest little picture. And I had them. I mean, my whole bedroom was Take That. I mean, it was funny bringing boys home, but they're like, you really like this band. So the door opens in Long Beach and Gia walks in, and it was just like, it was like a 360 turn.
Right.
Really slow with like that blank look of like, oh my God, I'm afraid. And this is the coolest thing ever.
Bewilderment, I would
and
say.
I do believe that the lead up was definitely, you know, it was worth it.
Yes.
And there was one centerfold of Mark Owen, who is her favorite. And I believe that it was during the, we'll see, Prey was, wait, I don't even think Prey was out.
I was thinking Prey, but Prey wasn't out yet.
I thought it was Junkies, Baddies, Power, but that's Relight My Fire. So that was after that. It was probably Why Can't I Wake Up With You era, because that's when Yasmin went. But it was a Mark poster, and he had like he had some sort of crop top.
Oh, and like the shells. Yeah. Oh, die.
And Gia literally sat on the end of my bed where the poster was and just like stared at it. I mean, I'm not even over exaggerating. She just stared at it, and we're just kind of like, hello. And it was, I don't even remember how long we were there, but it was just like, I mean, for me, it was just my room, but like, And the girls, I don't even know if the girls reacted the first time they saw it. You know how they are. They're like, okay, I'm just like, so cool. But
that's exactly right. Inside they were dying. And I actually outwardly showed my, like, I'm dead right now in this room. And I would say to Kedrick, like, you didn't have this last time. You didn't have that last time.
And I think I said, yes, I did. Yes, I did. Right.
That's always been there.
I don't think it changed very much, to be honest with you, because it was too hard to change it. Like, I mean,
literal wallpaper.
Yeah. Good times.
Amazing.
I remember Y came over and I had bought It Only Takes a Minute and I Found Heaven. And I bought them on sheer, like, well, first of all, I knew It Only Takes a Minute. I knew the song, the original song. And I remember seeing the name at the in the back of Rolling Stone, the UK singles, it was number 7. And then I saw I Found Heaven. Well, actually, I Found Heaven had just come out on 12-inch, and I went to LA to get it, or to go shopping, and I saw it. And the first thing I saw on that cover was the bleach blonde guy with stripes.
Yes.
And that was, he was my favorite from that moment on, and that was Gary Barlow. And I knew Ian Levine. I knew his music from like 7th Avenue and stuff. So with me, it's like one of those like trifecta things, like, okay, well, I know who their producer is, so this must be a decent song. And it's funny because like on that cover, it was Jason and Gary. Those are the two that stood out. Mm-hmm. And that's where it started for me. So by the time Y came along, you know, it was like, you know, I had already had a million love songs, Could It Be Magic, and the album. She came back from England with Why Can't I Wake Up With You. And here's the thing, and I love Why, but here's the thing, Why kind of came back and she kind of spun it in a way that like she was like the like this big huge thing, and it's like she didn't even know who they were when I told her about it, because she went to England and her like 12-year-old cousin bedroom looked like mine.
Ding ding, thank you, you know, she was taking so much ownership.
Yeah, and
so
I'm much ownership. Kinda, and you know me, I'm just kind of like, okay, whatever, it's like, I mean, you know. So yeah, so that's how we met, and you know, kind of going along with that, we talked a little bit earlier. We're still in the early stages, I guess, but like, but like, there was, you know, we were all New Kids on the Block fans, and you know, that year '93, they released Face the Music, which I, to this day, I think it's their best album. It got no play, but you know, and they played super small venues, the Ventura County Theater, the Palace in LA, and you guys saw them in San Francisco. Yeah. And I mean, here's the thing, and the infamous the infamous John fell off a horse, that's why he's not here.
Yeah,
in reality he left,
right?
But those shows were the best. I mean, it sucked that they had to play that smaller venue, but it was amazing that they played that venue.
For the fans, absolutely. But it was heartbreaking also. It was bittersweet because you were like, you literally, like a year and a half ago, you owned the globe, the world. And like how quickly the mighty fall, or whatever, you know, that saying is. It was just sad.
Well, you know, I mean, and it wasn't even anything that they did, you know, I mean, that was, you know, I mean, grunge came in and snatched it, you know, but they did, you know, that same week that they did Ventura County Theater and the Palace in LA, they did Arsenio Hall show. And that was actually the first time I'd ever seen them there. So what you had to do back then is like, you had to wait outside, you know, to get tickets in the morning. So we just got into cars and we went and we slept outside. And somehow, you know, M had a mattress in her trunk. And she, and it's this like funny thing that we slept in the gutter because we propped up, you know, the mattress against the gutter, and M and I slept
on the mattress in the gutter.
And
I want to be clear that you slept in the gutter for Arsenio tickets to see New Kids on the Block.
I'm sure.
And I magically asked a rando fan, "Can I sleep in your car in the back seat?" And they were like, "Absolutely. Here's the keys." That's in luxury. Thank you.
that was really fun. And then, you know, they stayed at the Bellage, and you know, we saw him, and I said to Donnie, I was like, I was at the show last night, and he goes, "I saw you." Well, because, you know, back then it was 50,000 girls and 5 guys, so we got treated like gold because there were so few of us.
Yes.
And
also, can I just say that that is a foreshadowing of absolutely how it goes for Kedrick. Just continue, Kedrick.
It was a lot of fun, and you know, it was one of those weird kind of things because it was New Kids on the Block, and I never really had like the info or the chutzpah that other people had. Here's the good thing about me. I could go to the Bellage and sit anywhere I wanted.
Yes, you could.
No one said anything to me.
A word.
Yeah, not even a word. I was seeing girls getting kicked out left and right, and I was just like, doo, 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 against the wall. Like, they didn't say anything to me. Even when they would come out and I would like stop them and talk to them or whatever, I never got kicked out of the Bellage, ever. And that was one of the good things about being who I am. Like, I don't look like your atypical fan of a boy band. So I don't get, like, the focus is never on me, because most of the time they thought I was one of the posse or whatever. And
that's right, entourage, right.
Entourage, yeah, so that was really good. And so there's that. So our 1994 is like packed full. So we're gonna take a little break and we're gonna collect ourselves. And then when we come back, we're gonna talk about 1994, the year that was. Right here on Is This Your Playlist?
Hey, this is Brent from Probe 7, and you're listening to Is This Your Playlist?
Hey, this is Steve, and you're listening to Is This Your Playlist?
Hey, playlisters, we're back, and I'm here with Gia. Hi, Gia.
Hi, Kedrick. Hello, play listeners.
Yay. We're talking about our adventures in music and life and stuff. So in 1993, you know, Everything Changes came out from Take That, and I got the album, and I believe that we had a listening party. I think you guys came to Long Beach, I think. Because I don't remember like driving up, but I remember we listened to it. And okay. it was a great album. And
yes.
You know, they saved the best for last because, you know, Gia's man got his first song, Babe. And it was a great album. I just remember listening to it. It was just such a great album. I mean, I had Take That and Party already, but it was just like, I remember wasting my time. They had that, you know, so then Gia and, you know, M and L,
yes,
to England in the like winter 93 to see the Everything Changes tour. And, you know, I kind of got like a blow by blow, you know, of the show. And Gia was telling me earlier that she said she was, you were cold.
I was cold and wet and freezing because we took a train down to Brighton and to see one of the shows down there. And it was just, I was freezing and miserable like the whole time going down there and coming home. Coming back to the hotel we were staying in. It was just very, 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 very cold. Probably the coldest I've ever been, aside from a Chicago blizzard.
So then, 1994 came and, Take That were kind of like, they were definitely the biggest band in the world. And there was another band that came out at the end of 93. They actually won the very, very first best show or best new act on the road. And they were called EYC. EYC, what can I say about EYC? They were absolutely amazing every single time. 94, besides Take That, Take That were like the pinnacle, but like they were out of my reach for whatever reason. EYC was, there's Trey Parker, Damon Butler, and Dave Loeffler. And I met Trey at the Houlihan's restaurant that I worked in. I made somebody give me, I was like, I have to take that table. So I waited on him and his family, didn't say a word, kept it. You know how I am. Didn't say a word, knew who he was, blah, blah, blah. Didn't say nothing till the very end. And then I was like, bam. From that moment on, his mom, Debbie, would tell me where they were going to be. I've been to video shoots. I've been to airports. Gia was at one. They would have 3-hour layovers and they would just be outside with whoever, the 5 or 6 fans. They would just talk with us and just laugh. And they were an amazing group. I loved EYC. And they were going to England to do the promo, they were going to do Number One. And that was summer of 94. And Gia and M were due to come to the airport and hang out with us. For whatever reason, I don't remember what it was, but they came at the end. And I was just like, you guys have to come, you have to come, you have to come, you have to come. So they come, so the guys are already like, going and
yeah,
and Gia and M come running out. They came out of the terminal where they were and hugged them. Mm-hmm. Like UAC hugged you and M, and they were like, oh, it's nice to see you, it's nice to see you. They were amazing. Okay.
Yes. So
you know what? If I had to choose a band for 94, it was EYC. I was on the Black Book video shoot. I have so many like great memories with EYC. They were just, and England loved them. Two girlfriends, and EYC was, it's so funny with that kind of situation because, so we would go to like airports and stuff and hang out with them, and they would go. And by the time they got to England, people were already knew stuff. Because we would call people and say, this is what they're wearing. This is where they're going to be.
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah. And that was, that was such a gift. I was 23. I was a punk kid. And, I kind of think I was cool, but I wasn't like, I didn't have access to info, And so this was the big story. So, it was July 1994. And, I'm at home, it's like 1 a.m. and I get a phone call and I'm like, I was woken up and it was Gia and M, and I think it was like some party line or something. And yeah, they're like, are you sitting down? And I was like, I'm asleep. It's 1 a.m. What do you guys want? And I think it was you that said, you're so dead, you're not ready for this.
Yeah.
And you know, here's the thing. You gave it back to me. You gave it back to me exactly like I did it to you. So you got me back. I'll give you that. And it was like, what? And these words were said to me. Gina found Gary. Awkward pause. What? Gary's in San Francisco. Okay, I think I flew up off the bed and I was like, okay, start from the beginning, don't leave anything.
Start from the beginning. Well, it was Gina that was on. It was Gina, I feel, I don't know that she was on the line or if she had hung up and we said, we're going to call Kedrick, because that's when I live with Marisol. And that's, the phone was cradled in between the two of us. So we were both listening. And so maybe Em and I just called you then. And that's when the news was delivered. And we, I mean, please continue, because this is the best story of my life.
I didn't really know how to react to that other than, what are we doing? And I believe
I need to call off work.
I need to call in sick from work, because I mean, I guess when it came around the pike that we were in drive up there the next day, yeah. I was like, yeah, I'm calling out sick for, I don't, I'll quit the job.
Not even the next day. It was like in hours, remember? Because we were like, we're leaving. we're leaving.
I think I slept in the car too, probably, because that's what I do. But
I think so.
We drove up to San Francisco, and I didn't really know how I was going to react. See, this was the cool thing about the group of people that we were hanging out with. It was, you know, M liked yes. Jason. Yeah. L at the time liked Howard, but then she switched to Robbie, and then she switched to Howard, blah, blah, blah. Gia liked Mark, and yeah. I liked Gary. It was pretty much those were the guys. And so it was kind of like, it was really kind of like my time to shine, because he was my guy. And so we get to the hotel where he was, and I think... I'm trying to think what, like, how the series of events happened. I think, okay, well, we had two other people come. We had Y.
Three.
Wasn't it Y and GR? Greg.
Y and GR.
Flew.
Y and Greg. Greg. Greg's fine.
Yeah, Greg's cool. They flew
Y,
in.
Greg, and L. And that's what we were talking about the other day. Did L come with, or... And Y flew in?
I think Y and Greg flew in. But you know how, you know what though? It had to be.
Because Y had her friggin' car, her SUV.
Oh, yeah, that's
Jeep,
right. So, okay, so L and Greg flew in.
I feel like that is accurate. I do feel like that is accurate.
Yeah, because it was the four of us. Me, you, M, and GN. And so they all, you know, so they flew in, you know, Greg and L. So mm-hmm. M and Y was already there, because the two of them went to the airport to get the other two, because it was just the three of us. It was just me, you, and Gina.
Yes.
Somehow he called or something, and he came to our room. Gary Barlow came to our room. And this is one of the funniest things that we talk about. GN
called him and said, hey, you're here. Like, we're all like fans. Can you come to our room? That it was GN. Mm-hmm. It was GN yet again. Yes.
And G and I were, okay, we were standing at the hotel, you know, the front door of our hotel room. I mean, I don't even know how we both got our eyes into the peephole, but we did. And he came.
Yes, we did.
We saw him walking up, and I literally was airborne and back.
Yes.
knock on the door. And see, this is why I was like such a dork, because like, you know, he is my favorite guy on the whole on the planet. And I played all cool. I was at the table like writing something stupid. And he's like, "Oh, you know who you are?" I was like, "Yeah, I know you're all cool and stuff." And in my head, I'm like, "Oh, I got it." And he was really cool. And he was there writing with Narada Michael Walden. I remember that. And he said that he had to go out and that he would call us when he got back. He was in the room for like, I don't know, 5 minutes or something. And I was just like, it was like when he left, when I feel like he was out of earshot, we freaked the fuck out.
We all lost our marbles. We didn't know what to do with ourselves when he was there. We just didn't. I didn't know what to do with my arms. Like,
And then it dawned on us. And when you, I feel at this time period, like I didn't know what was going on behind the scenes. So from my standpoint, we were all still kind of cool with each other. So then it dawned on me that like, they didn't see him and we did. And I don't know why I felt like that at the time, but it was like, they're gonna flip. When they got back, I think we played it cool when they first got there, because we were just kind of like, oh yeah, blah blah. And it's like Gary just left our room and they were like, what? And it's like, he just left. What are you talking about? Gary just left the room.
Yep, sorry.
God, that was awesome. That was foreshadowing of things to come, because
yes,
we got that. And that was one of our, that was one of you and my and you. That was one of our early bonding points.
Yes.
So
that just goes to show, like, we have like a, there's like a unity. There is a power between us. There's a power.
So then, you know, so we're kind of like waiting for him to call us. And I remember he didn't. And we all went to bed. And I think he called us at like 1 a.m. or something like that. And you were in pajamas. I was in something. And we just like, I mean, we might as well have done the Wonder Woman spin. We got our shit together. That
is correct.
And he was downstairs in the lobby playing the piano. Oh my God. Listeners, if you don't know who Gary Barlow is, please research it, because that was genius. Because he is genius. And this is one of the funny parts of that story. So we all went down, MLY, Greg, G, N, me, and Gia. And we're around this baby grand piano. And he's just playing. And he was about to play Babe, which was sung by Mark Owen. And no one had ever heard him singing. And he was about to do it. Remember, it's like, and it's like, he was about to say, "I come to your door." And they were like, "You can't play the piano. It's 1 a.m. We were like, no. But he sat with us for like forever. And he was just like, he was just talking with us. And it was just so cool. And he goes, "Oh yeah, we have a new song coming out." We're like, "Oh, what's it called?" And he was like,
I'm not gonna tell you.
He's like, "I'm not telling you lot," because we're like, "Why?" And he's like, "Not even gonna," because you know, had he told us it was called Sure, we would have told everybody. So he took pictures with all of us, and then by that time it was like 3 a.m. or something, and he had to go to the airport the next day. So the next morning, you know, he gets a hold of us, and he comes to our room again, and you know, he's in this wife beater tank top. And here's the thing, I was 23 and he was the greatest love of my pop star life. So that trip was like for me to shine, and I just took another picture with him. And if you see the pictures, and I should probably try and put them somewhere, my face was the happiest I'd ever been up until that point. And so then there's this part of the story is kind of crappy. Here's the thing. We were all fans. Gina even though she's the one who found him. Gina wasn't a fan. She was kind of like I hate saying this, she was kind of tag along. She'd just be like, okay, whoever's around, blah, blah, blah. So
she enjoyed finding people, like in hotels, wherever they were, anywhere in the world. She would just like find out a code name, find out whatever. That's where she got her kicks. Mm-hmm. That was like her fun. Yeah. And it kind of ended there, you know? Like that was it.
And so, you know, we were going to take him to the San Francisco airport. And for whatever reason, we all got in the car. And then there was two spots left. And then there was only one spot because Gina took up two spots. Anyway, so Gia and Greg got left behind. And I just remember seeing your face. I mean, I don't think you were mad at me because, I mean, that's scary. So, I mean, it had it been Mark, I would have been like, here, go, you know? And it was just like, I don't think Greg was mad that he didn't go, but I think he was mad that, like, Gina just jumped in. And it's like, honey, you're not a fan. Greg wasn't really that much of a fan either. He was just kind of there for
the ride. He wasn't bothered.
You know what I mean? So that was just, I mean, it was like a whirlwind and I couldn't believe that it happened. And, you know, I mean, it's been, you know, 1994, that was like almost 30 years ago. And I can see it like it was yesterday.
I feel like it was yesterday. Totally.
And that was one of those rare moments. Like, I mean, Gary in San Francisco, just randomly writing Narada Michael Walden, and we found him, or, you know, he was found. Still to this day, it's one of my best things.
Yeah. Ever.
So
it's a great experience that we had for sure.
And, you know, so then right after that was the Pops tour, and that was September. And I think you guys went to that one. Wait, you,
oh,
you
guys, oh my God. Well, Marisol, M and I moved to Manchester in July, from July 94 to January of 95. M and I moved to Manchester.
You guys left right after Gary.
It was like weeks after Gary, two or three weeks after Gary, two weeks. And we got to see the Pops tour, practically all of it. I saw so many of their concerts and met a bunch of fans and stuff, you know, that ended up kind of becoming quote unquote friends, and kind of crazy enough as it sounds, I kind of went and followed them, you know, where we were invited along just because one of the girls became the girlfriend of the guitarist Milton. And so we were just warmly welcomed to go along with them, stay in the hotels and everything like that, and be a part of, not outside of the circle, but more inside. So that was a cool and surreal thing, you know, kind of something I always wanted with the New Kids, you know. And then, you know, so we got to see the Pops tour a bunch of times and kind of go all over England and to Ireland, to Belfast, where Gary.
But hold on before you tell that story.
But before that.
So I came back, I came to England in September. And I was there for the first part of it. And they were staying at the Sopwell House. And I went by myself. And, oh, we had went the night before. Okay. So I had an 8x10 picture of me and Gary from San Francisco. I wrote on the back, Gary, hey, it's Kedrick from LA, blah, blah, I'm here. And I gave it to the concierge and I said, can you please give this to him? And I was just like, he's probably going to throw it away or whatever. So the next day I come and Mark comes out and the first thing that Mark says is, "You're Gary's friend from LA, aren't you?" And I was like, I wanted to just die. And I was like, "How did you know that?" And he goes, "He showed us the picture." And I'm like, it blew my mind that like they gave it to him. And I mean, it was months before, but the fact that he showed it to Mark, yeah, or whoever, that blew my mind. But of course, the day that I went, Gary and Rob were going to meet them at the venue. So I didn't see him or Rob, but I saw Mark, and Mark was really cool. And I saw Jason, and Jason was going into the sauna, you know, when I met him, mm-hmm, and he was in there for like 2 hours or something, and I waited outside like an idiot. But like, Jason, cool. I don't know where Howard was. Howard was probably off shopping or whatever, but it's just like, mm-hmm, Mark said, he goes, "Oh man," he's like, "that sucks because Gary and Rob are going to meet us at the venue." And it's like, oh, I was just like, I was shattered. But that night I tried to, you know, Jason was going to try and get us tickets. And even though I had tickets already, he was going to get us tickets, but he ended up not getting them. And where I was sitting was right, they'd started doing the Beatles medley when they would walk across the you know, top of the venue, and they had a second stage in the air. Take That always had the best shows. They did it.
The Beatles medley. Yeah,
they did it better than anyone.
Love it.
Okay.
Yeah.
They did it better than everyone. So right, there's a part, like, so they do six songs in the Beatles medley, and the fourth song is "I Feel Fine." So they're doing a little dun, 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 and I'm right under there, and Gary, he looked at me, and he waved at me. And I was kind of like, "Did you just wave at me?" And the girls around me were like, "He just waved at you." And I was like, it was weird. And I mean, because I guess I stood out, but it was like, just blew my mind. Anyway.
Right. I just couldn't even process it.
Yeah. It was like, I mean, it just like, he just happened to be on that side of the round stage doing that, and enough to like wave. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. Anyway, right. So then I saw the Pops tour probably like three times. I had tickets for like 15. These girls from Australia gave me all their tickets. They didn't want them. I didn't go, like a fool. I should have went to every single one, but I didn't. Anyway, stupid.
So
then the last show was at Belfast, and Gia and Em were still living there. So then it's like, I got another phone call. Cause like when there's England stuff happening, you know, it's always late, late my time when things are happening over there. it was another 1 o'clock phone call. And it's like, "Are you sitting down?" "Yes, I'm sleeping," whatever. And Gia goes, "I didn't even prompt this with him. I'm just letting you know that I didn't prompt this with him." She goes, "Gary came up to me, walked across the room, and said to me these words, 'I saw Kedrick at Wembley.'"
That is accurate. That is accurate. Correct. And Em was like nearby and heard that. And I looked over at her like, you know, I'm making like eyes of holy shit. And she kind of did the same thing to me. And I said, "Oh, wow. Oh, that's so great." Or I don't honestly have no idea what I said back to him. And I was like, "Oh, that's, you know, whatever." And I knew that the phone call that I was going to make was basically going to be the last time I talked to my friend Kedrick.
Yeah, that was really, really awesome. So that's almost to the end of 94, but I think that like I need to kind of like get myself together. So we're gonna take a little break, and then when we come back for the part two, it's road shows, radio stations, and Roehampton on this UK Adventures playlist on Is This Your Playlist? And I'm Kedrick, and I'm here with Gia. So stay tuned, and you're going to get a word from our sponsor now.
Thank you for tuning in tonight to Is This Your Playlist? If you are tuning in for the first time and like what you've heard, please like and subscribe. We can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many more. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Please join Kedrick and Rissa next time for more fun facts and witty banter. My name is Joey. Thank you, and good night.